Hello everyone and welcome to the Life Source Luggage podcast. This is the fourth podcast in our series of podcasts which shares with you how we became travel filmmakers and are now traveling the world working with tourism and travel businesses. So this week we're going to be talking you through our time in New Zealand, which was spent over 6 weeks campervanning for most of the time actually. Previously to this, we were in Vietnam, so if you listened to last episode, you would have heard about us posting our first video, winning our first project with the tour operator in Ha Long Bay, and also travelling around Vietnam. So in New Zealand, the key things that happened during this trip are we have our first video shared by a huge Facebook page, and we think we're going viral, but we're not actually going viral, but that was quite a fun experience. We post another two videos. We also work on our second collaboration with the campervan company, and we are pitching to Cook Islands Hotels and Resorts, which is the next stop of our trip after New Zealand. So we'll kick off with New Zealand, run you through what we did quickly, and then we'll move on and let you know what we got up to. So in New Zealand, we flew into the South Island first. The plan was to do 3 weeks campervanning in the South Island, followed by 3 weeks in the North Island. We weren't sure if we were going to campervan or we were going to potentially work at these organic farms on a project called Woofing, which you stay for free on the farm and you help out with the farm work, and they in return give you food, drink and shelter. So that was our first option and that was the original plan. So I'll take you through where we went. We flew into Christchurch in the South Island, which is a main hub there. We spent our first night out at Akora. Sorry if I get pronounced some of these names wrongly, because I may well do. So we spent a night there in the camper van. We hired this great camper van. It sort of had all graffiti on it, and it was like a cool style. It's from a camper van company called Escape Camper Vans. It was a fairly small one for two people, but it's perfect for what we needed. So we actually didn't book that until we got there. So the first morning in New Zealand after we landed, we arranged our camper van. So we did leave it quite late. Probably wouldn't recommend leaving it that late yourselves, but you can do it. So we drive from Christchurch down to Akora, spent a night there. It was our first experience of campervanning in this kind of terrain and landscape, and it was stunning and really, really, really good fun. So from Christchurch, we went across the middle of the South Island from east to west, over to the west-hand side through a mountain pass called Arthur's Pass, which is renowned as being a stunning scenic drive, and it really was, and it's up and down hills. It was a little bit overcast when we did it, but you could still appreciate the epicness of all the landscape. It's like being in Lord of the Rings, so everyone probably knows that's where Lord of the Rings was filmed, but you really do feel like you're, you know, in the film and with the hobbits and, you know, exploring it. It really is like that. So then on the west coast, things to do are glaciers. So we went to Franz Josef Glacier, and then we went to Fox Glacier. So those are the big two attractions down there, and we spent a night or two along there. We were staying in campsite, and also, as we had a self-contained camper van, which means it's got a toilet on board, if you need to use it, you're allowed to stay in slightly different campsites, so you get more of an option as to where to stay. We found that really, really helpful, because some nights we wanted to do, they call it free camping, where you stay, you know, in a almost a lay-by, but they're often in amazing places by lakes and just the best locations. So you want the flexibility, because other campsites are good, but often bigger and a bit more built up with more people there. But they do have more facilities and electricity and all that kind of thing, but you have to pay for those. So yeah, we did quite a lot of free camping, and then we'd stop probably one night in a campsite and one night free camping. So from there we came down south along a really, really, really nice drive that took us down through Lake, yes, it was actually called Lake Wanaka, to a town called Wanaka on the south of that lake. We stayed there a night. That was a super cool place to stay and check out. From there, we went down to Arrowtown, which has got lots of forests and amazing orange colours to the leaves. So we spent a night there, a nice little town as well. I think it was an old mining town, like gold mining. So lots of history there. Then we went down to Queenstown, which is quite well known and quite notorious for being an action-packed adrenaline seeker town. So we stayed there for a night. We didn't do any skydiving or anything. That's on Lake Whakatipu. And then from there we did another lovely drive down that lake, down the southeast side of that lake. And then we went on quite a long drive from there to get over to Milford Sound, which is sort of glacial formations on the coast, on the southwest coast. So that took probably a day or two to drive. We stopped halfway down. We were going into lots of libraries to sort of edit and produce our first videos, well, our first few videos from Thailand, I think we were still posting. So we drove through, they call it Fjord Lands, up to Milford Sound, and the fjords are all huge mountains, and the drive is just completely epic and stunning. And you get to the end, up to Milford Sound, and we stayed a night or two there, and you take a boat out. It was all carved by glaciers, so there's these sheer cliffs that just rise out of what is the sea that comes in various different inlets. And you take a boat out there and you can really get in amongst it and see the height of these cliffs and how they literally rise out of the water. So definitely recommend making a bit of effort to get around there. We're in a camper van, so obviously all the fun that's involved in camper vanning and you know, driving slow on a road, getting people stuck behind you, so much driving done, so many hours racked up, so many miles on the clock, but it's all part of the experience, and it's all so fun to do. We would do it again, you know, in a heartbeat. Such good fun, and every night you're sort of looking out for mosquitoes and locking things down and cooking your dinner out the back of the camper van. And then every day you're back in the camper van, driving along, you have a bit of morning coffee, and you can stop wherever you like, which is one of the great attractions of camper vanning. And we stopped everywhere. In terms of filming, so we were basically filming every day two or three times with the drone, because wherever we stopped, we could take the drone up, have a quick flight, see what's going on, get some footage, have a drink, and then we'd be off again. So in terms of practice on the drone, which now looking back at it, I realise how valuable that was for us to be able to practice to fly the drone for 6 weeks every single day. We learned loads of techniques and just got used to how the drone works. So that was invaluable. We were, like I said, stopping at lots of libraries and doing little bits of work along the way as well, and within the camper van, and you know, we constantly had laptop out and editing what we'd got that day and having a look at that, and also working on our Thailand project. So getting power was quite key, and that's why we end up stopping at lots of libraries, and we would do quite a lot of campsites because you could hook the camper van up to power and have power within the camper van. So that was great. So in terms of the trip, after that we came back down southwest after Milford Sound, and then we came across town. So we could have gone further south, but in terms of time we decided to come back up the middle and check out some of the lakes. So the next place we went to, I believe, was a town called Twizel, which is near Lake Pukaki. And from there we were going to go to do Mount Cook. This is sort of a very central, pretty much, in the South Island. The only trouble was we had a few days of very hard rain. New Zealand caught the end of a cyclone, I think, that was coming through. We weren't too badly affected, but there was rain and wind for about 3 days. We stayed in Twizel and decided to put off our trip to Mount Cook, which is at the other end of Lake Pukaki, and took that time to edit and post our video, one of our videos from Thailand, so that helped us. I remember we were in the camper van recording audio on our microphone and getting that ready to post along with the video. So that was actually quite a hard process, doing voiceovers. We were learning quite a lot there. So that gave us a bit of time to get that video sorted, which was good in the grand scheme of things. And then when we went up to Mount Cook, which is the largest mountain in New Zealand, we had the best weather we could have hoped for. So at night, it's one of these sort of starry skied reserves, where it's actually a protected view of the sky because it's so clear. So we spent some time there and we did some photography, and we went on a hike up towards Mount Cook, not the whole way. And that hike was great. It was on Easter Sunday, I believe, so it's quite busy actually, with lots of other tourists and local families. But all the walks in New Zealand are really well marked, and we managed to do a bit of filming along the way, and it was just glorious sunshine the whole day. So that was great. That was Mount Cook. So from Mount Cook, we went to another famous lake. You'll find yourself kind of going from lake to lake. This one's called Lake Tikapu, and it was super blue and clear. All these places, I'm skimming through it on the podcast, but they're all stunning, and we stopped at all of them, and you stay the night somewhere, and you have to sort of find your campsite and make sure you're going to the right place. Lots of navigating going on by Amy, and lots of driving from me, and it's all just such good fun. So after that, we went up past Christchurch. The road was blocked, unfortunately. We were going to go straight up the east coast to a place called Kaikoura, which has got lots of sea life, seals and potentially whales, I think, penguins, dolphins, all of that. But we couldn't go the normal way because of an earthquake a few months before. So we had to go inland, which really extended the trip by, I think it was about 10 hours. So it was a long trip. So we went up, we got to Kaikoura in the end and had a nice time on the seaside coast then. Then we went up north to wine country. So this is called Blenheim, Marlborough also known as Marlborough wine region. And there was a town called Nelson that we spent a bit of time in. So here we did a bit of filming, another one of our collaborations. So here we were filming for a wine tour. We got a free wine tour for the day. It's a bike cycling sort of guided wine tour. And in return, we made them a video, which is now up on YouTube. So this was another sort of exchange deal that we struck while we were there. And it was great. We spent a few days in this wine town. You can go between vineyards and spend time there. We got the drone out at every point along this trip and flew it up and got some footage and some handheld stuff for me and Amy cycling around. Such good fun. And we stayed till three nights, I think, in wine country before heading up north a little bit further. And then, unfortunately, because of the way it worked, we had to drop the camper van back down to Christchurch. So this was 3 weeks into our trip. Drove all the way back down to Christchurch and dropped the camper van off. So the camper van company have actually asked us at this point if they could use some of our Instagram photos that they'd seen us posting, because they really loved them and they featured the camper van. So that was great for us, and it got us thinking. So we hadn't planned the second half of the trip, and we felt a little bit lost after we gave our camper van back. We were running a little bit tight on money, and it's quite expensive in New Zealand with petrol and food all being the same price as the UK or the US pretty much. So we had to make a decision. So we spent a few days, which felt like a long time, sort of, we almost felt like we were wasting time trying to work out what to do. So we here organized another collaboration, and it was actually with the camper van company. So we said to them how we wanted to do longer, and we wanted to do some video and some more camera work of our trip, and we wanted to stay in a camper van. So we ended up deciding and working out a discount where they discounted a rate on the camper van for us, and we could take exactly the same camper van up to the North Island and drop it off at the North Island. So this was great, and it allowed us to do it a lot cheaper than we would have done previously if we'd just pay for it as normal tourists, and it allowed us to do another collaboration with a business. So this was now two collaborations and two bits of sort of work effectively with travel and tourism companies within New Zealand. So that was great, and we were so pleased to get back into the camper van. It's called Batch Life, our camper van, and had a graffiti picture on the side of people enjoying their weekends down on the coast. And they call it Batch Life in New Zealand because everyone has their own little, I think they're called batches, in their little huts on the beach. So most families will have one of those for the weekend that they go up to. So we were back in there. So after spending a few days in the library, we were doing a little bit more editing. We struck that deal, and then we were off up to Wellington in South Island. So we had to drive back up, Wellington in the North Island, but we had to drive up through the South Island again. We stopped at wine country so I could have a bit more drink, and Amy drove the camper van for the first time up to for crossing on the ferry between Picton and Wellington. So we did that crossing along on the ferry, and then you arrive into Wellington in South Island. So we arrived and drove to find somewhere to sleep for the night in Wellington, and that began the start of our South Island trip. So after our night in Wellington, we drove up north to actually another wine region within the North Island. So North Island's a lot more populated than the South Island. There's more people there. There's larger cities as well, and a bit more business. So that's the kind of feel. South Island's very much wild. It's a lot about the countryside, loads of mountains, lakes. That's the sort of main vibe. North Island also has lots more geothermal activity. So all of the hot springs and the mud pools and that kind of thing is found more so in the North Island. So we're looking forward to exploring that and getting up to the coast on the north as well, which is known as the Bay of Islands, which is a little bit more, lots of boating up there and yachts and beaches and things. So we're hoping to get up there before the weather turned. So quickly to take you through the North Island, we spent another 3 weeks here. From Wellington we went to Hastings and then to Napier, which is the wine region. We spent a night or two there. Then up to Lake Taupo, which is one of the most famous lakes in New Zealand, and we spent a little bit more time there. And also around that area we did the Tongariro crossing, which was probably the hardest hike we've ever done. It was a full day of hiking, 12 hours probably, up past a mountain that features in the Lord of the Rings. So it's actually Mount Doom in Lord of the Rings. So that was a great experience, but super hard on the feet. It was snowing, so it took even longer. Lots of ice, and yeah, really found that hard work, but a great experience. It was sort of from sunrise to sunset, pretty much. From there, we went up to Rotorua, which is where a lot of the geothermal activity is, and spas, sort of hot water spas, and we spent a few days there enjoying it. It all smells of sulfur because of all of the hot water and spa activity. So it's quite interesting. Literally, you can smell, if you're near to one of the spas, you can smell that sulfur smell the whole time. So there we actually did a lot of editing of our Thailand video, the Koh Kradon video, which we did post, I think, in a McDonald's in the North Island. So we had to pull up into the car park. This is our third video, and I guess quite an important time because we had decided to shift our style a little bit. So instead of doing a voiceover, we did this just our most beautiful shots of Koh Kradon, and made it just, you know, stunning shots, and it was just us on the beach enjoying it, and it was a short video without the voiceover. So quite a different tactic, and this was to be posted on Facebook and also on YouTube. So this was actually quite a big turning point for us, and quite a difference in the style of video that we did. So you'll find out fairly soon what happened as a result of that late night McDonald's car park video posting. So from there we worked up the coast to an area called, a place called Mount Manganui, which was on the now north coast of the North Island. So the look was changing, it was getting sunnier and hotter, and this was a lovely beach town with this very strange sort of outcrop of rock, which is, well, more than rock, just a mountain kind of coming out of the coast. So we explored there, we walked up, you know, up that mountain for a bit and had a look around. From there we went to the Coromandel National Park, which is a large peninsula near to Auckland, which again was like a stunning place to visit and look around. And we drove a really nice drive over the mountains and across the Coromandel, and spent a few nights there as well, enjoying the beach by this point, and there's lots of boats around, and getting loads of nice drone shots. And it was quite a different feel to the South Island, very different, and just as good and just as interesting. So we spent some time there. We went to a beach called Hot Water Beach, which you can dig your own hole in the beach and hot water comes and fills it, so you have your own natural spa. It was quite a fun day, and by this time we were getting a bit of suntan, and we were stopping, and the heat and the sun was a lot stronger than in the South Island, so that was good. And we came from there up through Auckland into the Bay of Islands area. So this, I can't remember the exact town, but we had stopped from here upwards a few different places along the coast at sort of beach campsites, which were great because you can be literally on the beach in your camper van, best of both worlds. But we had posted our Co-Craddon video, like I said, in that McDonald's a few days or maybe a week or so earlier. And what we had done, which is quite a key part of the business strategy now, is to distribute that video to a number of the largest travel pages on Facebook. So we did our research and we knew some of them, but we looked through to see who had the most followers on Facebook. And I think this was our first video that actually we posted to Facebook, whereas before we had posted videos just to YouTube. These are two key things that happened and changed our tactics going forward, really, and is what has made us successful up to this point now we think about it. So we distributed it to Must Do Travels, who at that time had about 5.5 million followers on Facebook, and they shared inspiring sort of travel videos. So fingers crossed, we were like, oh, we never know, we might get featured, it could be possible. And our video was a lot more sort of viral worthy and more Facebook style, quicker clips and just beautiful shots. So we were in the library and just left doing some general work. Oh no, we weren't actually in the library, we were driving up north, but it was early morning. And we got this notification through on one of our phones that Must Do Travel had shared our video. So we clicked through to it and were amazed to see that, yes, they had actually shared our video of Thailand. And they tagged us into the video. I think we had our watermark on the video. And we were just going crazy because we were like, this is one of the biggest travel pages on the whole of Facebook, and they've just shared our little video. And yeah, so this was really funny. At this point, we just went crazy and we were like, oh, we're going viral. What should we do? So we decided to, instead of continue our journey up north, we decided to turn around to the nearest town and get to a library so that we could deal with what we thought was gonna go crazy and go viral, which in fact it didn't, but it's a funny story anyway. So we went back and spent 2 or 3 hours engaging with the video, commenting with lots of people who had commented on the video, and also we were emailing some sort of influencer agencies within London saying, we just had a video and we think we're going viral, what would you advise? Because we'd been listening to a lot of podcasts about growing on Instagram and Facebook and influencers, they would call it, travel influencers, so people making videos and photos like us. So that was a fun morning. We did eventually continue our trip and we had a few emails back from agents, which was very nice. I think Dustin from APA agency is one of the people we remembered. And they just said, you know, this is great, but you know, you have to replicate this. One video is probably not going to make you blow up and go completely viral. But we had already seen a difference. Our followers were increasing quite fast by then. And we were really chuffed that we had managed to get our video onto a big distributor's page. And this was the beginning of our whole, or a big part of our strategy, which is to make our videos, but also distribute them to large travel pages who need good quality content and share it with their followers. So we did that. And also, at the same time, in terms of business, we had started thinking about the Cook Islands and approaching them. So this had really changed the way we did that, because now we had this large share and we had, I think, 30,000 views, and it grew to 50,000 and might now be on 70 or 80. But we were then able to start using this video to approach hotels in the Cook Islands, which became a key thing and actually opened up some doors for us. So we had already approached a few Cook Island hotels, but now we wrote back to them and wrote some new ones with a link and a screenshot to this video that had been shared and was racking up all these views. So this is what eventually we think tipped the balance and allowed us to have a hotel in the Cook Islands called Nautilus Resorts. Thank you to people at Nautilus, Jane, for giving us our first proper hotel gig. But off the back of this semi-viral video that we did of Thailand, we were then able to show other hotels and resorts in the Cook Islands what we had done and what was potential for them if we came to film at their resort. So that's all sort of business stuff kicking off while we're in the top of the North Island. From here we went to the very, very top called Cape Regina. and we spent some time there, and we spent some time on some beaches, and had to work our way back to Auckland eventually to leave for the Cook Islands. So that's called a very, very quick run through of New Zealand, and I didn't do it justice because there's just so much to talk about, and we could do a whole podcast just purely on New Zealand, a whole series. So that's it. But the big things that really happened in New Zealand, as you can tell from this audio, is that we posted a couple more videos, changed our technique and strategy on the videos in terms of what we were showing, and we didn't do voiceovers, and we just did more epic drone shots of me and Amy. That was one big thing. And I suppose the second is that we had a viral hit with one of our videos and got a big feature on a large page, which is now sort of commonplace for us, but then was very, very rare. And it was great to have that experience. And the third is that, we'd been working with the campervan company, who'd given us another discount. So that's another sort of tick in the box of a business. And we also worked with the wine bike tour company. So when I say work, we didn't get paid for any of these, but we did receive sort of value in exchange. So this is, these are all sort of adding up with the ones that we had in Vietnam to give us a bit of a feeling that we can, you know, we've got potential here, and that it is possible to at least exchange the value of our video services for things. So it's sort of opening the door to us thinking a bit broader about what could be possible. And then finally, I would say that pitching Cook Island Hotels and having our first acceptance for Nautilus, which I think came just before we left the North Island of New Zealand. So we had already booked a week with a lovely lady called Gwen in Cook Islands, and we'd already booked a week in her accommodation right by the beach. So we knew we had our first week covered, but after that we had, I think it was 3 weeks to fill, and we'd been running pretty low on our budget. So at this point we've been trying to work out what do we do in the Cook Islands and how are we going to fund it, and let's try as much as we can to get some hotels on board that we can exchange and do a video for them in return for them putting us up. And we've been emailing pretty much every 5- and 4-star hotel in the Cook Islands on the main island of Rarotonga. So we had been working really hard. We'd emailed a few of them 2 or 3 times to follow up, and we had had one acceptance from Nautilus. So as soon as we got that, we were over the moon, and it was a 4.5-star or 5-star hotel right on the beach on the main island. Looked amazing, one of the best places we would have ever stayed, ever, for both of us. And we had 3 nights was the offer for us, doing them a Facebook video of their resort, but also their resort next door, which was Murray Beach Resort. That's it, yeah. So it was sort of 2 deals for the price of one, and we were going to provide them with some photos as well as the video, but it was the best deal we ever got, because it really opened up our thoughts and our aspirations as to what could be possible in the Cook Islands. So next episode we will fly from Auckland to the Cook Islands, to Rarotonga, for the last stop in our initial travelling trip. And there we will be keeping and continuing pitching to hotels and resorts, trying to fill our gap, literally running up to the night or the day of our next stay and not having any accommodation sorted, and then trying to wing it and negotiate our way into various different resorts and hotels and room stays. So I won't give away everything that happened, but if you follow us on Facebook and YouTube, you will have seen some of our Cook Island content, so you might have a feel for where that ended. But we will pick up next time in Cook Islands. So this has been the 4th episode of the Lifestyle Savage podcast. I'm Ben, and travel with my fiance Amy, making travel videos. So if you want to follow us, we are on Facebook, Lifestyle Luggage, Instagram, Lost_luggage_, and we also have a smaller YouTube channel. Best place to follow us is probably Facebook and Instagram to catch everything, and of course this podcast. So thank you for listening. Next time we will be in the amazing Cook Islands and taking you through what we got up to on the main island of Rarotonga. So we leave New Zealand very happy, having loved our 6 weeks of campervanning and looking forward to having a nice comfy hotel bed, but definitely enjoyed the campervanning experience so much and would do it again in a heartbeat. So thanks for listening. This has been Life Source Luggage podcast, and we will speak to you guys again next time. Please leave any comments and questions you have in the comments here, or shoot us a message on Facebook and Instagram. We'd be delighted to hear from you, and let us know if there's anything else you would like to be hearing on this podcast or any different emphasis we could put on things. Thanks again, and speak to you next time.